we should all be on. Good morning out there in the web world, if you ever do listen to this. Let's look at this shooting thing this morning. We know where it's going. I don't have to talk about it. We know the amendment thing. We know the freedom of guns. We know they want to get rid of the guns. But that's nothing we don't already know here. So that's not the issue. It is very irritating. But this makes it a little bit more acceptable. And Chris, your husband sent me this thought, this verse, and this just makes total sense. He's a good man. But anyway, if we look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, I'm going to try to go slower because one of my folks who listened to this thing said, man, you go fast with Bible verses. I couldn't find any of those Bible verses you were talking about. Okay, so if you listen to this later, we'll slow her down. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. We probably won't, but I will say that I will. 1 Thessalonians 5. And this makes so much more sense. Whoops, I dropped the mouthpiece. There we go, or the mouthpiece. The mic. There we go. Better. 1 Thessalonians 5:3. For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman. This is before the second coming of Christ. Okay. So this is fine. At least this is me. I'm talking about me this morning. I've always read the verse peace and safety. I've always concentrated on the peace. But when they say safety, and it says, when they shall say peace and safety, then of course they've got to get rid of the guns because everybody feels so unsafe. So as they get rid of the guns everywhere else in the world, they got to do the same thing here now. And they say that it will be safer. I mean, just think about this. This guy breaks into the school. All the school procedure they had, they got their escape plans, they got their lockdown plans, the building was locked up, the whole spiel. And the guy still gets in and kills all those poor little kids. That's a horrendous thing. And I had a chance, I had to talk with my kids the other day in classes because we had a pervert move into town and the kids are scared. Well, the kids really ought to be scared now. Well, what's their response? Their response is, let's make more laws against guns. Let's get rid of these guns in America, knowing full well that the criminals will have the guns still. That's nothing new. Okay, so when they get rid of this gun thing, they will be talking peace and safety. Peace and safety. So, we know what's going on. World government, they got to get rid of our guns, blah, 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 blah. But they've got to talk safety. And they got to get rid of the guns. So, in due time, and then it says in Daniel, and in his estate shall stand up a vile person, to whom they shall not give the honor of the kingdom, but he shall come in peaceably and obtain the kingdom by flatteries. Daniel 11:21. And then verse 24, he shall enter peaceably. And the guy that comes in peaceably, the guy that comes in with flatteries, and the guy that wants to give us all safety, how they're going to do that? They're going to get rid of the guns. So that's another verse to put on this whole thing. Don't forget, obviously they have, that this kid, the people that do these things, are on these drugs. And most of these drugs are given to them, you know, purposely, legally, in the schools. And through all the years that I've taught, especially recently, even at the church back in Washington, I know of kids that, to me, were capable of doing exactly what this kid did. And either through being that they get on, or all this psychology stuff that we're supposed to try to figure these kids out with, the games that they play, the violent games that they play, and the condition of the families in the home, the moral level, which there is no morals, then this gothic stuff, which is, you know, and they wonder, and they think it's the guns, but they will be talking peace and safety, and they already are. Get rid of those guns. So, there's that one this morning. That's A. Now let's go to B. Christmas. Oh, what a hassle. What a bunch of arguments we get into with people if we say anything at all. We feel tremendously uncomfortable around it, or at least a lot of people do. Or some people like me say, this comment came about because here I am teaching in a public school doing a Christmas program. And I got the letters. What are you doing? How can you do that? Well, it's my job. And so because of that, I watched the words we did. We did a song, Grandma Got Run Over by a Reindeer. Kids love it. It was a funny song. They already all knew it. I changed the words so Grandpa wasn't drinking a beer, watching TV. He was eating chips. I mean, you know, come on. So how do we deal with this thing? And over the years, I've got a ton of sermons on Christmas. You know, there is not 1 ounce of truth, scriptural truth, in the story of Christmas, other than, yes, Jesus was born a baby. But the plays, all the things you see, the stories you read, the movies you watch, they're not true. The details are not true. The nativity scene, the star, the three wise men, there were not three wise men. Was he a baby when they all came? No, he wasn't a baby when he all came. Oh, how about the manger? No, the manger is, that's not what a little manger is. I mean, it just goes down the list. The Yule log, the mistletoe, all this stuff has cultic or demonic, hate the word demonic, devilish, pagan, there you go, pagan origins. It just does. Jesus wasn't born in December. I mean, you go down the list. Okay, so we know that. But there's a verse in Romans. It's a hard one for us. It's a hard one for us because of our pride. Romans 14, verse 20. So this whole chapter is dealing with those people who are weak in the faith. In other words, people that, they may be a Christian, they may not be a Christian, but if they are a Christian, they're weak. They're weak in the faith. And it says in verse 1, him that is weak in the faith, receive ye, but not to doubtful disputations. Then they get into the eating thing, you know, and do you or do you not eat? Well, sure, you know. And he says in verse 12, you know, we're all going to give an account of ourselves to God. Not our words. Again, that's a great commission thing. Just account of ourself. What is ourself? It's what ourselves have been doing. Our accountability will be the works we do. Okay. This is a hard chapter for the proud Bible believer, because he wants to walk around saying, you know, we're being blessed by God because we're walking so good. I've gotten a couple emails the other day that, yeah, they really think that they are the righteous one walking around. The pride emanated from those emails. And we find ourselves not comfortable when somebody plays lousy music. We find ourselves uncomfortable when we're around immodesty. We find ourselves uncomfortable when we are doing a holiday thing, especially Christmas and Easter, because we know the truth. They don't. So we have to say what we have to say, because we think we're sticking up for the truth, and we think we're sticking up for God. And like I said, I've been there, I've done that. And I don't regret it. It has to be taught. However, I did a Christmas program. However, we had a Christmas tree in the band room. However, we even had a Christmas tree in the program. However, we even did a Santa Claus song for the kindergartners. And the list goes on. Didn't have any mistletoes. Didn't have any Yule. Well, I take that back. We did have a fire on my computer burning that fireplace that constantly burns, have the crackling sound. I had that in my classroom for background. Keep the lights kind of low. There's our fireplace and atmosphere set. Okay, so I did all that. Really? You're kidding. I even hung the lights in the band room. Well, what are you doing that for? Well, A, like I said, it is my job. B, I'll show you why. I'm trying to get across to these kids an example of a Christian. I'm not saying anything about it. I'm not preaching or bragging about it. I'm using the wisdom from the Bible. And I talk in meetings with teachers. I don't quote the scriptures, the scripture reference. I just teach the teaching, the truth of a situation. Same thing with the kids. I just want to be a good teacher that nixes the bad jokes. Kids are always saying, God this, God that. I'm always correcting them by having them say, gosh, not a big deal. You know, I've got a purpose for being there. I'm not sure what it is necessarily, other than to make money and have insurance. But this verse, in verse 20, Romans 14:20. I think I talked about this a while ago. Look at actually any of these verses up here. Look at this verse 15. But if thy brother, and remember this brother is weak in the faith, they don't know what you know. I mean, if I was in the church right now, I'd have you raise your hand. How many of you have read Hislop's? I forgot what it's even called. It's been so long. I think it's Fables or something. Hislop by something. Hislop. Where he just shows the origins of Easter, origins of Christmas, and all the little things we do. Hot cross buns and the whole spiel. You know, wreaths, angels on top of lights, Christmas trees. I mean, the colors of the lights. You know, the whole thing. But if thy brother be grieved by thy meat, now walkest thou not charitably. Destroy him not with thy meat. For whom Christ died. Let not then your good be evil spoken of. That's a tough one. Does that mean we shut down with what we know of our good? Not necessarily. But timing is important. For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink. And I'll tell you, what's coming out of these Christians today, and their preaching and their teachings and their witnessing, and what it is they do teach to people, which is totally incorrect, but it's still, they're teaching and preaching a meat and drink. And people don't like it. They hate it. Well, they ought to hate it. It's Jewish teachings. Okay. Why do people, like you asked Mark, why are people not jealous of what we have? Because what Christianity is putting forth is walk right, clean up your act, quit talking like that, da-da-da-da, and God will fix you. God will heal you. God will guide you. God will save you. Even if they're not preaching any works, they're preaching works. They're not preaching works to be saved. They're preaching works either to keep their salvation or to get saved. They don't say that. But how could you have a Christmas tree? How could you do Christmas? Don't you know that that slaps God in the face? That comes. And it just makes them speak evil. Do they understand Paul's? Do they understand the risen Savior? Not at all. Do they understand what he's taught? What he's done for us, spiritual circumcision? Do they understand how he took care of the law? Does he understand that all things are lawful? Do they understand that, oh, there are strings attached, though? They don't understand that stuff. So, yeah, you can do anything you want, but it'll burn in the judgment seat of Christ. They don't understand that. They've got a clue. You know, what we know from Paul, what Paul has taught to us, what we know is meat. Even though it's like gravy to us, once we learn it, it's not hard to chew. It's just fine. But what we have to show people or tell people, it's hard for them to chew, let alone swallow. So what we know about Christmas and what they know about Christmas. Listen, the world itself, the country itself is sick of Christmas when it comes to the materialistic cost of it all. Well, listen, if we don't buy that stuff during Christmas time, these stores will fold because we know that they base the whole entire year on Christmas. Well, so is that why we should do Christmas? No, this is just what they're saying out there, and this is what they think of Christmas. They're tired of it. A lot of people are tired of going into debt for Christmas. They're tired of the pressure of having to buy something. Somebody gives you a gift. By the way, I still accept all gifts and monetary donations over Christmas. I will never refuse a gift. You know. But anyway, So what we know about Christmas, for example, is meat to them, and they can't chew it, let alone swallow it. Now, let's keep going here. Then let not then your good be evil spoken of. Okay, 18. For he that in these things serveth Christ is acceptable to God and approved of men. So that's a tough place to be. Acceptable to God and approved of men. Here we go. Let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace, and things wherewith one may edify another. Now remember, this is about a brother. And this is about a Christian brother, obviously. And it's about a brother who's weak in the faith. They don't know this stuff. Now here we go. This is the verse. For meat, destroy not the work of God. All things indeed are pure. How can he say that? Well, all things are lawful. So what the heck, you know? But it is evil for that man who eateth with offense. Then down to 22. Hast thou faith? Have it to thyself before God. Happy is he that condemneth not himself in that thing which he alloweth. Do you allow Christmas? Hey, allow the thing. Everybody does it. It's grown to what it has, whatever. You know where you stand with God. You know that he knows that you know that Christmas has nothing to do with him. He never says to worship. He never says to celebrate Jesus. He never, his birthday. He never says Jesus is the reason for the season. We understand this stuff. This is all about the coming of the Antichrist. This is all about religion. This is all about deception. This is all about teaching a false story of Christ. That's all the way it is. The way it is. We know that. So if you get a chance to talk to somebody, which I've had opportunity to say, well, you know, it's kind of interesting because if you check the scriptures out, there's nothing in the nativity scene that is scripturally true. Pause. Well, what do you mean? Well, you show it to them and you tell them, da 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 da, and then you leave it be. At least I have. I've left it be. Let that thing work in. Because see, in verse 20 again, for meat, that's the meat we understand. We know this meat. For meat, destroy not the work of God. Okay, so the question has to be, well, what's the work of God? And I was meant to look up that verse. I think it's in Ephesians. We'll save it in a minute here. Let's look at John 6. You're going back to the Gospels. Yeah, we're going to realize that the meat, that the work of God has to be rightly divided. John chapter 6, verse 29. John 6:29. Jesus answered and said unto them, am I going too fast yet for the scriptures to be founded? Jesus answered and said unto them, this is the work of God, that ye believe on him who he hath sent. Well, right away people are going to say, well, see, there you are. You need to be saved. Salvation is the work of God. So, no. Not according to this. Look at verse 30. They said therefore unto him, what sign showest thou then, that we may see and believe thee? What dost thou work? Again, and I'll say it a millionth time, in the Gospels, to believe was to believe that Christ was the Messiah, the Son of God. That's what they had to believe. Look at verse 30 again. What signs show us, though, then, that we may see and believe thee? Believe in what? That he was from the Son of God. That he was from God. That he is God. And you go through John, different verses in John. We won't take it that this morning. We won't do that this morning. There's a number of verses in John that just remind us. I'll take us to the easiest one. And that's Acts chapter 8. This is Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch. The guy wanted to be baptized, and Philip said, well, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And this guy, you know, he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Here we go, John 4, John 6, John 8, John 11, John 13, John 16, John 17, John chapter 20. Mentions the fact that what they have to believe in the gospel is that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. So that was the work of God then. So for meat, destroy not the work of God. Is what we destroy in people that Jesus is the Son of God? Not today. Let's go back here to Exodus chapter 32. Exodus 32, verse 16. Maybe this will be the sermon this morning, and I'll save the church one for tonight. Chapter 32, verse 16. And the tables, meaning, you know, the whole thing in Exodus, the commandments and the law and everything, and the tables were the work of God. And the writing was the writing of God, graven upon the tables. That was the work of God. So do we have tables? Well, yeah, sort of. Do we have to believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? Well, yeah. I mean, that doesn't make your salvation, but you still have to believe that's who he is, that he's still the Son of God. And most people don't even think God is God, let alone Jesus Christ being the Son of God. So, yeah, that there's an element of that in all of this. But let me see if I can find it. I know we go to 1 Corinthians 13:10, obviously. Because that which is perfect has come. Here it is, Acts 20, verse 24. But none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus. Here it is. Paul's ministry, obviously the work of God, to testify the gospel of the grace of God. There's the gospel that Paul preaches. Well, what do you mean by that? Everybody knows God's got grace. No, not like Paul teaches. Paul teaches how that grace came about. Paul teaches what Christ really did to the law. Paul teaches about the church, which we'll talk about probably tonight. We'll start it off this morning. That's the grace of God. And he defines it, and he describes it in detail. That's what people today need to know. 1 Corinthians 13:10. That's where it's at, in the King James Bible. It was never there before. Before, the work of God was to believe that he was the Son of God. In the Old Testament days, the work of God was to believe what he wrote. Today, same thing. Paul teaches us through a King James Bible the grace of God in detail. God doesn't just apply his grace and ignore what you do. He's going to judge it all in the judgment seat of Christ. But his grace, in detail, is how it all came about. That's what people are missing. And as a result, do they have the gospel of their salvation? No. Are they teaching the gospel of grace? No. They're teaching the gospel of do it right. So, does that make sense? The work. So my whole point was about Christmas. We can destroy all this preaching on the street about homosexuals and stuff, and preaching to people about how Christmas is not of God, you know, the whole thing. We can do that. But according to Romans chapter 14, a brother now, not the lost world out there, but the brother. We can destroy the work of God to somebody who's weak in the faith, because we can chew the meat, but they can't. So, here we go. Christmas. I've taught all that I taught about it, and it's true. But we can destroy it. What God wants these people to learn, he just wants them to get right with God by getting rid of their Christmas tree. They're not going to do that. Some people don't do Christmas because they just don't want to spend the money for it. And they can't spend the money for it. And the stuff about Santa Claus, oh yeah, he is totally an antichrist. He is totally Romans, Revelation chapter 6. I mean, Satan's claws, I mean, it's just fantastic meat. It's just good to read all that stuff and understand we know what's going on. We know what's going on with guns. We understand that. Peace and safety. That's when the Antichrist is going to, when the Lord himself is going to come back. So we know where they're going with this stuff. But if we bop this on people without using our brain and using our wisdom and use it charitably, we'll destroy the work of God with our meat. Even how we are, how our attitude is around people at their house or wherever, when they do Christmas so big. Like I said, I did a Christmas program. I got letters from people that said, how could you do that? With all that you preach, how could you do that? Very simply, where I'm at, if I'd have said, I'm not doing this kind of stuff, I'm just going to destroy the work of God, which is for these people to learn about grace somehow, how that grace comes about, how to get into the gospel of their salvation, which is the King James Bible. I have found one family that is a King James Bible only type people. There's a church around here that does King James only. Not, this is the one they use. This is a King James preference, put it that way. So, all in due time. But if I start yapping my mouth, I'm going to destroy the work of God, which is for these people. I'll say it again. Paul's ministry. So, but the bottom line, these people need to hear about Paul. They need to hear about the risen Savior. I like this question when I ask people. Well, I know you believe that Jesus is a Savior, da-da-da-da, but do you know he taught, what he taught since he rose is different than what he taught to the Jews? Well, no, I didn't know that. Well, of course they don't know that. Their pastor doesn't teach it to them. You know, since you bash a pastor for being a liar and a minister of righteousness and all that stuff to some of these people, if not all of these people, you're history. They wouldn't give you the ounce of conversation again. We are that far gone. If we're talking about peace and safety in this world, and we're seeing the things that are taking place in this world, and we see the signs, not that we're looking for signs, but if we see the signs and the clues of the tribulation just coming around the corner here, we got to remember that probably most people aren't just weak in the faith. They're probably not even in the faith. And I'm not talking about the local church. We know that there is a deception. We know that God is even going to... What is, let me make sure I send this right. Say this right here in Thessalonians. And we know that people believe that we're going to be in the tribulation as Christians. No, I don't believe that at all. Totally, totally provable. And it says here, for this cause God shall send them strong delusions. Delusion, that they should believe a lie. That they all might be damned. Why? See, they believe not the truth. What's the truth? Thy word is truth. The King James Bible is truth. It is that which is perfect. Now I'm just rambling. But the whole thing still proves that the work of God is to preach from a King James Bible and to live the Paul's manner of life and let people see what's going on. Remember 1 Thessalonians 1:9? These people saw what Paul's followers had changed in their life. They turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God. You can say anything you want. You just have to do it. People say to you, why don't you do Christmas? Well, there you go. Tell them why. But be careful. You'll kill them. Especially if you don't do Christmas and you whine about it. Oh, the King James Bible. Yeah, but I can't do half the stuff I want to do. I'm miserable. You're miserable with what you wear. It's so hot. Oh, but I have to wear this because I'm a Christian. Well, that kind of an attitude, it just stinks. And it's all over the place. Anyway. So, there's the thing about the guns. There's my comments about people who think I'm being totally wrong here by doing my Christmas program and everything else. And it's 10:34 here. Well, let's jump into this thing anyway. Let me get this screen up. Maybe everybody's sound has disappeared here. Nope. Okay. We got Stan and Little House, good, and Sam and Hope for All, okay. Still good. Okay, and Stephen's still there, the commandant. Let's look at this church thing, the local church. Let me check my video thing, see if it's even working here. This one I want to get. Yeah, we're still working supposedly here. For you video people out there, it's going to be dark because I've got my window open so you can see the snow and the cold, but the snow, the white snow makes the video darken, so whatever. Okay, this local church thing. You heard it said, and I hear it said, that the local church, everything you do as a Christian, everywhere you learn something, must be through the local church. Not only is the local church autonomous as a Baptist church, they think that, you know, we have to have everything is within our circle, within our building. Nobody else tells us what to do. Okay? Fine. If you look at the church today, even the Baptist church, especially the Baptist church, it is nothing but a Catholic-designed church set up with a Baptist title on it. Years and years ago, one of the first tracts, in fact, it was the first tract that I designed, was called the Holy Roman Baptist Church. And I compared the description of the Catholic Church with the description of the Baptist Church, and they match. You've got apostolic succession. You've got the Baptists that think that you have... I think it's blinking. What's going on here? Baptist popes, okay. You've got people that look to their pastor like the Pope because he's the only one that really knows, and it has to be done through the church. And the issue a long time ago in the Dark Ages, Middle Ages, call it what you want, was, I can't say it, it's Latin, you know, scriptures only or the church only. You can't get anything, you can't learn anything unless it comes from the local, from their Catholic church. Well, is this what people are saying today about the local church? Baptist guys, the Bible people. It has to come from within the local church. You have to be a member of the local church somewhere. That's where you're going to know that you're being taught the truth. Well, because, see, we all know that the church, where's it going in Timothy here? We all know that the church is the, how does that go here? That the church is the pillar and ground of the truth. So if it's coming from the church, it's from God. And if your pastor has been called of God, then what he tells you is true. So what they're really saying is that their local church that they belong to is their final authority. Not, I mean, sure, they'll agree to the fact that, yes, it is the pillar and ground of the truth. But it's, remember, it says the pillar and ground. It doesn't say, okay, by this is in 1 Timothy 3:15. It does not say, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground as the truth. No, the church is not the truth. The church is supposed to be the pillar and ground of the truth. But because that local church has the truth, doesn't mean that church is the truth. That church is their final authority. Come on. The Mormons think if you're going to go through a Bible, you go to the King James Bible. They just add their two books because Jesus came, you know, Satan's brother, Jesus, came to America. That's what they add to this whole thing. But they still got a King James Bible. There are a few Pentecostals that use a King James Bible, which surprises me. In some respects it does. But if they don't rightly divide it, it's kaputs. So I thought, let's do a little study here on this local church thing. I've done it a long time ago, but this one's different. This one's different. We understand the body of Christ, sort of. Even though he says, where's it at here? The body of Christ. Come on. Even though he says the church is a mystery, where does he say that? He says that in Ephesians, if I remember correctly here. Ephesians, yes, this is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. So I looked up all the verses with the word church. I mean, come on, folks, bunny trail here. We have a concordance in such a manner that we can look up all the verses that deal about a certain subject because of the word. And we are without excuse, without a doubt. Okay, anyway. So, I typed in church. And here's what I came up with, even more detailed than I've done it before. First of all, 1 Corinthians 12:27. I'll start off with a 20-minute intro here, or 10-minute, whatever. Now, ye are the body of Christ, and members in particular. Okay, so we know that there's a body of Christ. I know a lot of people don't believe that, the universal church, that, you know, the the body of Christ is, all of us are one. We're all members of the body of Christ. I have no doubt with that. I have no problem with that whatsoever, scripturally. A lot of people do. Yeah, because they want their local church to be the body of Christ. So we got all these little Baptistic local churches, or Lutheran local churches, or whatever. They're all little Catholic churches because they just believe what the pastor says, because we are in church, and this is where we get our leading and our words from God. Okay, we know better. Again, this is meat. We know better. 1 Corinthians 13:10, that which is perfect has got to be Christ. No, I'm sorry. It's got to be the King James Bible. It cannot be anything else. So, we know that that's the truth. We know what must be rightly divided. And if it is not rightly divided, it says they're profane and vain babblings. Very simple. It either is or it isn't. And we so many people hang on the fence with that thing. They go to churches. Well, we know that they don't teach it all correctly, but we just pick and choose what we get the meat out of the peas or something like that. Well, how do you know how to do that? You can only do that by knowing your Bible. Oh, wait a minute. You mean to tell me that your King James Bible is a higher authority than your local church? Yes. Intensely, bold print, underlined, yes. So, do you have to be a member of a local church? No. Okay, before you turn off your sermon on the website, people, listen up to this thing. Let me show you what the scriptures say about this stuff. We are members of the body of Christ. Okay. Look at Romans 7:4. Romans 7:4. Wherefore, my brethren, ye also are become dead to the law by the body of Christ, that ye should be married to another, even to him who was raised from the dead, that we should bring forth fruit unto God. We are part of a body. We are married to each other. Hi, honey. All my honeys out there. If that isn't a good verse that shows that the body of Christ is all of us, and it's not a local assembly. Okay, now, with that in mind, let's look at church. Let me give you my observation, then I'll show you some verses. You read through your New Testament and the Gospels in Acts. I just started with Acts because I know we know the Old Testament is the church in the wilderness. Okay? And we know in the Gospels, which we know is really truly not the New Testament. That's still Old Testament. So we started with Paul, Acts, of course. Now, in Acts chapter 8, this mentions, that describes Saul, or Paul, we know that, Paul was, you know, killing and torturing Christians. We know that. So up until this time, I mean, this church still existed. But what was the church? Was it a building? Was it a place? As for Saul, Acts 8:3, he made havoc of the church, entering into every house. So obviously, this is a good definition of the church, entering into every house. All these members, all these people, are being referred to as the church. Okay, just keep that in mind here. But then you also have, in Acts 9:31, you also have, then had the churches, E-S, plural. So, there are also references of local churches. Okay, so you got to keep in mind, the church is referring to the people, the body of Christ, and churches is referring to places. Is that difficult? Not really. But if you keep that in strict mind as you read through these verses on churches, or the church, you will see that it is talking about me and Little House and Stan and Sam and Great Greens and Daniel, Stephen and Noelia, Michael, Chris, Andrea, Mark. We are the church. We are the church. Who is our authority? Me? No. All of us together as a church? No, because we're not together. We're together over the internet, which the United Nations is going to do its very best to shut that down pretty soon. It's the body of Christ, which we now read in Paul's. Well, Paul always comes up with this stuff, doesn't he? No wonder the Jews and the gospel people wanted to get rid of him. He was so contrary to them all the time. Well, they killed Christ, but he tricked them. He came back. And now he's taking everything to us, and he's teaching us all this stuff. How? Through a King James Bible. We are the church. We are the church. Now, I think we've all already knew that. I think we all already know that. There we go. But still, let me show you some verses that I think will make a difference in how we see the local church. Now, first of all, Acts 20:28. He mentions the church of God. 1 Corinthians 1:2, unto the church of God which is at Corinth. These are the people. 1 Corinthians 10:32, give none offense neither to the Jews, plural, Gentiles, plural, nor to the church of God, singular, but is full of many members. It's the people. Paul, 1 Corinthians 15:9, I am the least of the apostles, that am not meet to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. Who was that? That's the people. He says in Galatians, I persecuted the church of God and wasted it. There's modern slang right there. But he persecuted people. That's the people. So, with that in mind, let's look at a bunch of verses that talk about churches or the church, meaning the people. And you will see that today we do not look to the local church as our authority. We do not look at the pastor of our local church as being called of God to be our authority. So you don't have to belong to a local church in order to be blessed by God. Now that just shakes the boots of most people. Well, don't you think you should belong to a local church? Well, we'll talk about that. You know what we are? We are the church. The church. Just a phrase. The church. We just don't have a building. We just don't get together. Oh, we do on the internet. Well, that's pretty modern, far out and wild and crazy and stupid. No. We're the body of Christ. We just happen to live a long ways away from each other, and we are still the church. And if we could get together with the local assembly, this is it. We have a local assembly this way. That's totally fine, because that's what Paul teaches. Now, for the sake of our brain and our behinds, let's continue this tonight. We'll talk about the church. We'll talk about why do we all miss the church. What is the church today? What's its purpose? What's the authority? I can't think of the word now. Autonomical. Oh, what's that word? I can't even think of it. Autonomous. Is it the only place God works is within the church? And if you're not within a local church, you are skipping the fellowship with God. Is that true? That's not true.